Welcome to the Gut Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thank you so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word for you. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
How's everybody doing? Everybody good? Yes? I'm glad like six of you are good. That's awesome. We're going to change that tonight. So I have the honor and privilege of speaking tonight. It was... I want you guys to know, first off, I am very thankful for my parents as leaders, as pastors, just the discernment and the wisdom, and then the get up and go that they have to not just know what to do, but then to actually do it. And it's so refreshing in a world that I feel like is flirting with shutdowns. And we just ramp up, and it's amazing to see what is happening in people's lives throughout the summer. So if you are not plugged in, if you're not hooked up, do so, because now is an unbelievable time to do that. But when I got this, when I got the text, and Dad just said, hey, can you speak for me Wednesday? I said, yep. It was Monday. And he said, he goes, okay, thanks. And I was like, yeah, I got a message. It's, I actually just wrote it. I think it's going to be amazing. And he's like, awesome, I need you to preach on faith. And I was like, that's not the message that I wrote, but I got you. So my parents are out of town. They're in Niagara Falls, which I feel like is very stereotypical old people thing to do. You know what I mean? Like, go see Niagara Falls. I'm like, I've never in my life thought, you know what? I want to go see a big waterfall. Nope. Saw a video of it on YouTube, good enough for me. But I know they're having a great time. I'm assuming it's one of Mom's bucket list things. I feel like that's every trip they go on is a bucket list thing. So they get back tomorrow, and Mom and Dad, hope you're having a great time. Okay, so tonight, let's pray first. Here's what I do need, though. I understand it's Wednesday night. I understand you just got done with the middle of the work week. Let's have some fun tonight. Let's have church. Let's figure out, get into God's word, figure out how we can implement it directly into our lives to make our lives better moving forward. Because the last thing that I want is for you to come here and then leave the exact same, not gaining anything. I think it's also the last thing the Lord wants is for you to leave and have not found something that you can implement into your life to make your life better. Now, if you don't want a better life, I would like to meet you, because apparently it's amazing and that's awesome. But I think we all want a better life. And how can we do that? We can do that by living the life that God has called us to. So again, I hope that this is truly believe that this is a message that is relevant. I also think that it is something that is needed in our lives. Whether you have a lot of it, you have a little of it, you still have it. That's the good thing. Everybody has it. But let's make that grow. Let's make that bigger. And let's see how our life changes. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you now. Lord, we thank you for this night. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to gather in your house under the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you're preparing our hearts now to receive your word. Lord, I thank you that this word is alive and it is true. Lord, I thank you that it hits every person exactly where they sit, how they need to hear it, in the stage and season of life that they're in. Lord, I thank you that on this stage that I decrease so that you could increase. Lord, I thank you that they're your words and not mine. So Lord, I thank you that they are God-breathed. Holy Spirit, have your way. And Lord, I thank you for an amazing night tonight. Just a night where we're able to take things, implement it, and make our lives better. And this is a benchmark night in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Anybody enjoy the band? Well done, guys. We're going to have them come back up for a song after it just, you guys did phenomenal. So well done. Okay. So here, we're talking about living by faith. how to live by faith. What does that mean? Well, first off, I have a lot of scripture, so just heads up on that. I'm gonna rifle through a lot of them. Hopefully they'll be on the screen. A few things I'll touch on, a few will go, but let's just begin our journey here. So Isaiah 7:9, when Ahaz, king of Judah, was attacked by multiple countries, God told him, if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. That was so true then, and I truly believe it's true now. If you don't stand firm in your faith now, then you're not going to be able to stand at all. There's so much information, so many things, so many feelings that are being thrown around that honestly, if you are not careful and you're not aware of it, it ends up overtaking your thought process and overtaking your emotions to where you forget the promises of God. You forget the foundation that you've been set on. You forget where you're standing in faith because there's so much other information that you're having to process through. But we have to stand firm. No matter what, you have to stand firm in your faith or you will not stand at all. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, this is out of the New King James Version. For by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Faith here is the conduit. By God's grace, we have been saved through faith. It's having that faith. Having the faith in God and of who he is and where we stand in it. Hebrews 11:6, and it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. It is impossible to please God without faith. Romans 14:23 says, but if you have doubts about whether or not you should eat something, you are sinning if you go ahead and do it, for you are not following your convictions. If you do anything you believe is not right, you are sinning. I think what's interesting about that is I know that in our house growing up, it was drilled into our head, where's your peace? Where's your peace? Where do you stand on this situation? And then we have, again, I'm so thankful to be raised in the house that I was raised in because it is not even a thought to move forward until there's peace. There's not a thought to move forward if there's a check or there's a hesitation. Because too many times we've seen and we've learned that when you run through those stop signs and then they become stop lights, all of a sudden, things start to go right. Things start to get out of whack. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we live by believing and not by seeing. If faith is so important to God, what really is faith? What really is faith? What do you see faith as? Hebrews 11:1, faith shows the reality of what we hope for, and it is the evidence of things not seen. That's what faith is. But I think we can get that twisted in our mind. When we start to put it through our thought process, when we start to put it through just in our life, it's like, okay, well, I hope for this, so I have faith. And it could be whatever it may be. I can remember growing up and being in situations where you think that you have faith, but in all reality, it's you're hoping for what you want. You're hoping for what benefits you. How you see it, your faith is not in God, it's in hoping that a situation turns out how you want it to turn out. I mean, it could be as little as I can remember being in high school playing baseball, and you go up to the plate, and you're 0-for-2 or 0-for-3, and it's like, oh, come on, faith, here we go. I'm gonna get a hit. Come on, I just need that bat to hit the ball and then to find green grass. Not someone's glove, I need to find green grass. I mean, you go through all of these things, and you're like, no, but I had faith. I hoped for that. I sincerely hoped for it. I truly hoped for it. But in all reality, my faith was not in God. I was not hoping that God's will or God's plan played out for my life. I wasn't hoping in God's promise or standing in faith for God's promise. No, I was hoping that something good happened for me. If you're sure of what you hope for, you act on it. Faith is a life of action based on what you believe to be true. It's not conjuring up feelings of anticipation to force God's hand. That's for somebody, and it was for me. It's not forcing up all of these anticipations to force God's hand for how you want it. That's not faith. Faith is standing on the word and knowing that Romans 8:28 says, "And all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose." So my question to you, do you love God? Are you called according to his purpose? Then all things work together for good. What's hard is, well, I wanted this to turn out different. I know. But you can stand knowing that that next battle, that all things work together for good. You can stand knowing, I don't know what is coming of this. I don't know what's happening, but I'm going to stand firm. Matthew 17:20. "You don't have enough faith," Jesus told them. "I tell you, if you had faith, even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. Nothing would be impossible." Faith of a mustard seed. So small. So let me do a little illustration here. So we live by faith and not by sight. I thought this was very interesting. If you don't feel like this is as interesting or as clever as I did, just humor me, please, and we'll get with it. Let's put up that first picture. I have two pictures I want you to look at. Okay. We've all seen this. Do you see two faces? Or do you see a vase? That's my question. Second, do you see a man's face or do you see a woman walking with a coat? Here's what's interesting about that. We live by faith and not by sight. Why? Because our eyes can deceive us. Because something might look different than what it actually is. It might look like an open door, but in all reality, did God open up that door for you to walk through? Do you have a peace about that, or does it just look good or look appealing so you want it to happen? But we don't live by how we see. Why? Because our eyes can trick us. It took me like 20 minutes to find the woman, just so you guys know. And I knew it was there. Like it literally said in the description. And I'm like, I don't see it. Maybe, sure. I just see a face. But our eyes can deceive us. Something can look good, but if we're going off of our own understanding, it's a coin flip on if that's the route we're supposed to go or not. But when we can live by faith and we're in tune and in touch with God and we are discerning of our spirit man inside of us, letting us know, all of a sudden, you don't have to live by, is it this one or this one? No, this is the route to go. The problem is, that's not so appealing to your flesh all the time. That's not so appealing to you all the time. It might not be the easiest route. It might not be the most fun route. But we can't see what's on the other side of making that decision. We can't see the picking up the pieces and putting them back together. And then it's exhausting because you've done it 100 times in your life. But in all reality, if we just were discerning and we live by faith, what if you could avoid some of those? I know I would. I would rather not take time out of my life to put the pieces back together because I ran through a stop sign that I know I wasn't supposed to run through. But it was appealing, or it looked fun, or it looked good. Romans 12:3, "For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." We all have some form or size of faith. We've all been given a measure of faith. The problem is, it's, well, God, give me more faith. That's not how that works. You don't get more faith. You grow your faith. You make your faith bigger and you make your faith stronger. But we've all been given that faith. Well, I just don't have the faith. Or I don't have the faith. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I just don't have the faith. No, you do. You just have not exercised that faith. You have not made that faith stronger. You have not made that faith bigger. I think it's just like anything else in life. When things happen, it hurts really, really bad the first time. And then the second time, not so much. And then you start to get used to it. I think that's faith. When you have faith, it is a jump that first time. But then it comes around again, and it's a little bit less of a jump because you remember what that was when you stood in faith. And then you start to live a life of faith. James 2:22 says, you see his faith and his actions work together. His actions made his faith complete. Faith without works doesn't work. Well, it's not about works. How many grew up during like the super Christian time? Like this real literal, where it's like, oh, it's not about works. No, but faith without works is dead. Works doesn't get you into heaven. Faith does, by grace. But faith without works is dead. 2 Corinthians 10:15, nor do we boast or claim credit for the work someone else has done. Instead, we hope that your faith will grow so that the boundaries of your work among you will be extended. Romans 10:17, just two verses down. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So I geeked out a little bit, and I looked into the definition. First, I looked into the Hebrew word that they're using here for hearing. Because in my mind, it didn't make sense if it was just literally sitting and hearing. It's like, are you hearing? Are you listening or are you hearing? How many husbands know what I'm talking about real quick? You know what I mean? Well, I think you get better at telling stories, but whatever. Not my wife. That's what I hear other people say. There's just a lot of information in those stories, a lot of details. But anyways, but I was just thinking, it can't just be just hearing it. So here we go. The word hearing in the Greek means okay. And that means to hear, to pay attention to, or to speak about. To truly understand. Hearing, when they're saying here, it's not just hearing it as an audible tone or words, but it's understanding it. The word is meant to be understood. You can grow faith by knowing and understanding God's word. The good thing is, it's easy enough for a child to understand. But you don't just hear it, you understand it, because then if you understand it, you can live it. If you just hear it and don't understand it, you're not able to live it. But we want to live a life of faith. James 1:22 says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. So the first step is, man, I just need more faith. I need more faith. I need a stronger faith. What do I do? When's the last time you've been in the word? When's the last time you actually sat down and got in the word and didn't just read it to read it? I don't know if there's any other people who their minds go crazy like mine, and you read a page and then you're like, what just happened? Like, and then you got to go back and reread it because you started thinking about something else about halfway through. Oh, I guess I'm the only one? Cool. No. You guys are phenomenal students too, apparently. But no, it's reading and understanding what you're reading, because that word is alive. There's something that it never fails, that when I open up the word and I start to read it, there's something in there that hits me to the core. Whether it's something I need to change or something I need to do better at or something that I completely misunderstood. Why? Because it's God-breathed. So we're able to read it and understand it, and then we start to see how things happen, how things work. Get in the Word. Apply what God is teaching you. What happens if you know and don't do? What happens if you know what to do and you don't do it? For the sake of this message, I call that unbelief. Either you believe what he says or you don't. You believe what the Word says or you don't. But to know and then do is faith. I don't know how this is going to work out, but I'm standing firm and I'm trusting God. That is how you build your faith. That is how you move forward. You grow your faith by applying God's word. James 1, 2, and 3 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." The testing of your faith. I think what's interesting is we'll pray that we need more things, and then God gives us the opportunity to build that up, whether it be patience, whether it be faith. If you leave here tonight and you stand and you say, you know what, I just need more faith, count it all joy when going through those trials. Because the word also says that it rains on the just and the unjust alike. So you are going to go through trials. How do you go through that trial? I think it's amazing how God works, that we can stand and we can go through a trial, go through a storm that should completely wreck us, but yet we continue to get stronger. It's because we're standing in faith. Because we're living by God's word. We're operating in God's word. We're trusting his promises. Okay, so real quick, I want to talk about things that are faith's biggest adversaries. The things that just are the opposite of faith, that fight faith. Number one is fear. It's fear. Believing circumstances, imaginations, expectations, or statistics instead of God, instead of what the word says. And what's hard is, in 2021, there is a lot of imaginations, expectations, statistics. Well, this is what it says, but here's what God's word says. Well, there's a new variant. What do we do? My body is healthy and whole. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Well, the economy is doing this. My father owns cattle on 1,000 hills. Am I going to put a limit on God because of what the economy is doing? Am I going to put a limit on God and whatever is ahead of us? If there's a business owner in here, you can stand on that promise, knowing that God is in control. You don't have to worry about what the economy does, because it is going to shift, it is going to move, and who knows what to believe at this point. But what can you do? You can stand firm. I know what I can believe. This is the only thing I know that I can truly stand on and truly believe. Number two is pride. So we have fear and pride. Pride is believing in yourself over God. Well, I don't need God on this one. I can do it. The hard part is we don't make that decision. We don't say, hey, I don't need God in this. But we just happen to leave him out of all the important steps. We happen to leave him out through the process. Pride destroys faith because pride involves trusting yourself, which is the opposite of faith. Trusting God rather than yourself is faith. Trusting yourself instead of God is pride. False humility and arrogance are both pride and both a way of doubting God. Why would you doubt God? Because in our weakness is made his perfect strength. Everything we put our hand to prospers, but nothing formed against us ever will. Do you think because of me, because of what I did, that everything I put my hand to prospers? No. It's the faith of trusting God rather than myself. And then the last one is unbelief. It's believing nothing of God or everything but God. The unbelief. Aidan Tozer once said, "Unbelief is actually perverted faith, for it puts trust not in the living God, but in dying men." You're putting your faith in dying men rather than the living God. Unbelief involves not believing God, his word, or the way, or that his way is best. Unbelief is related to doubt. I think what's hard is doubt kind of gets thrown in when it probably shouldn't. It's a lot like temptation. How temptation is not a sin, but not addressing that temptation or acting on that temptation is. But that's doubt. That's a natural thought process. Unbelief is doubt dwelt on, not confronted or challenged. Doubt can be such a positive catalyst to growth. I've gone through that process on a lot of different things. Because again, I sat in this house for 29 years or whatever that we've been a church, a long time. So then my question was, when I started to actually face adversity in life, it was, do I believe that because I believe it, or do I believe it because I was told to? Luckily, I have parents who are understanding. Because now looking back, I was like, I am so dumb. Like, what was I thinking? Obviously, this is where I stand, but I need to know that I stood there and why I stood there. But how did I do that? By getting in the Word and spending time with God. By not just picking something out and then moving forward with it. No, it's why do I believe? Does God heal every time? Yes. Why do I believe that? Is everything I put my hand to prosper? Yes. Why do I believe that? Does God care about me? Yes. Why do I believe that? Now, I could look at that and that doubt comes in, and it could have been not dealt with, or it could have been just run rampant. And then all of a sudden, it becomes unbelief. But instead, I saw it, it was addressed, and I dealt with it. And it then was such a growing opportunity for me. It was such a growing process. So I want to encourage you, if you are unsure on some things, that's not bad. But get sure. Get sure. Well, how do I get sure? It's probably not a YouTube video. It's probably not on Google. It's probably not on DuckDuckGo, because you don't want people tracking you. It's not on those things. It's in that word. It's in that book that's in the hotel nightstand. Shout out to the Gideons. That's where it's at. That's where you can find the truth. That's where you can find where you stand. I'm going to have the band come back up. I'm closing here. Doubt can be a positive catalyst to growth, but doubting and unbelief aren't. Notice that I said doubt and is a positive catalyst to growth, but doubting is not. It's unaddressed at that point. You have to address the doubt. Unbelief is a big deal. It affects us in a lot of ways. One of those is unbelief affects us is practically you lose. And here's how I looked at it. This was a simple man. This is how I broke it down. John 10:10. We've heard it a million times. But it's the thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life and life to the fullest. So what does unbelief do? It takes out part B of that verse and only leaves part A. That the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You have to know where you stand and where you believe. So you would say, okay, I need to make my faith stronger. What do I do? speak life. Because you might have to force yourself to just cognitively think through that process. Speak life and watch how things start to change. How all of a sudden you have a faith that you're standing on that you can move forward with, that you can operate in. It's the old adage and how I've always looked at it. When everything looks bad and I'm not sure I want to speak life, I'm not sure that I'm prepared to do that. Because I can see what things look like. I'm living by what I see and not by faith. I remember being a kid. I have a resting negative face. I understand that. Most of the time I'm just thinking, which apparently is more difficult than I would like to lead on to. But I understand I have that. I remember I shaved my head when we first got married, and she's like, "You just look mad all the time." I'm like, "I'm not. I have a great life. This is awesome." But it'd be, "No, I'm happy." Well, tell your face that. When I started growing hair back is when Mark Jackson actually told me that, and I was like, "You, of all people, have the nerve." It's free game now. But no, when he said it, I played it off, and I got back, and I'm like, okay, I have to tell my face that. Why? Because you can control your attitude. Things aren't going great. You smile. All of a sudden, you're happy again. Why? Because just smiling does that. Where you're speaking life over a situation that might look bleak, start to see how you speak life, and then God comes into that situation. How God comes into that area that you are dealing with, and all of a sudden that thing that you have been dealing with for decades starts to change because you brought God into the equation. But the problem is once it looks bad. Oh no, here's what the doctor said. Oh no, here's what's happening. Oh, I'm just waiting to get fired. No, start speaking life into that situation. If you don't know how, open up the Word, and there are a ton of them. But start building up your faith. Start working out your faith so it gets bigger. So then when those little storms come, they don't even affect you anymore. And then when those big storms come, they don't completely knock you down. Why? Because you built your faith up. You built a life of faith.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.